Welcome to Call My Lawyer, a podcast where I discuss pop culture and give my unpopular opinions. I'm your host, Chelsea, and everything on this podcast is completely alleged unless stated otherwise. Follow me as I spiral into oblivion, and always remember, if you don't agree with my personal opinions, call my lawyer. Mwah. Welcome to Call My Lawyer, and if you've been here before, welcome back. I'm currently watching the latest season of Jersey Shore Family Vacation. I'm caught up on the most recent two episodes, and it had to have been embarrassing for Vinny when no one would acknowledge birthday, but he didn't know if it was a joke or if they really thought. But he melted into the floor when they all finally wished him a happy birthday. But he kind of seemed ungrateful. I don't know. I'm going to play devil's advocate a lot in this episode, I think. He had made comments about the cake, about the decoration, that he thought the little party they threw was the only thing they planned. If it was just that, be grateful they finally acknowledged your birthday on the show. However, I do see where he was coming from, because any other celebration they've done on the show, they went above and beyond. Like, that stripper bus, what the fuck? It looked like something put together in a dark alley, and that's exactly where it should have stayed. And then we get to the dinner. And I really feel like 99% of all of their issues would diminish if alcohol wasn't involved. And again, I can see all sides of Vinny 2.0 proposed to Anne. Ange did tell the roommates she was single, and according to their timeline of events, just 2 months prior to Nola, she was drunkenly telling everyone she had feelings for Vinny the OG. And I guess this threw everyone off guard, including the fan. And I don't agree with Vinny 2.0 proposing at Vinny the OG's birthday dinner. Maybe because he's new here, he didn't know the extent of the amount of Vinny birthdays the roomies have failed to celebrate. And maybe if he had known, he would have picked a different time. I also just think it's really tacky to do something like that at another first event. Like, I have never understood proposing at another person's wedding or at another person's birthday party. It's always giving me weird vibes. I'm not with that shit. But here's where I get confused. If you've ever read any AMA thread about the show, producers, fan crew members have always been adamant Jenny is the kindest person on the show to work with. But this season, I think she kind of took the place of bad editing. Last season it was Lauren, this season is JWoww. But is it the editing, or is it truly what she's giving them? Was she intoxicated making jokes? Yes. Were they really that bad that Angelina should have gone off the way that she did? I think she overreacted a bit, but maybe she has a lot of PTSD from all the other times the girls have publicly downed her for their own entertainment. I'm a firm believer in maybe, though. If you are not there from the beginning, and this goes for every circumstance, friendship, whatever, if you're not there from the beginning, you will always be a newbie to me. So stay in a newbie's place. You are not the OG. So Zach making jokes as well about Angelina, that wasn't his place at all. I'm glad Ange reminded everyone exactly how we all met 24 on his first night at the show. I just think it all could have been avoided had they not been intoxicated. And we cannot go 1 week without Mike gossiping like Lee. He loves it. I get it. But fucking Christ, dude. And then we finally see clips from the finale, which airs next week. And Jenny is crying, quitting the show, which she did go on the BFS podcast say she did quit the show. But she's quit multiple times and always ends up back. But I'm tired of her being blunt, beyond real, speaking her mind, which is great. I love that shit. The world needs more blunt people, not afraid to offend someone or hurt someone's feelings. Stop coddling people. It doesn't do anyone any favor. But stand 10 toes down on that. Don't fucking cry victim when someone says some shit back to you. And we've seen that numerous times with Jenny, and no one ever calls her out for it. And I've said this a million fucking times. And then we have one more final episode to go, and then we'll finally see Sam's parents in the next season. Are you guys excited? Because I know someone who isn't. and it's me. I don't know what it is. I just am not excited for it. I don't feel she brings that much to the show. We only know Sam with Ron, and I hate that that was a thing because I get that they went through a crazy ass relationship on national TV, but we do not truly know her without him. And to me, she doesn't really bring any of this. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe she will prove me wrong. I highly doubt it. I highly doubt she will stick around long enough to prove anyone wrong. Now that the influencer Olympics are over, let's talk Coachella. I'm not a fan of crowds like that, so Coachella has never really been something I've ever been interested in. The concept seems like a good idea, but I'm so thrown off because I feel lately, within the last 8 years, we see more about the influencers that attended rather than the performances. I don't even think of Coachella as a festival, but just a massive brand trip. There are so many houses in Coachella Valley that are rented out for the festival by huge brands, and they invite the top influencers. Great for branding, but I think it takes away from the actual festival. Half the influencers don't attend the festival at all, so they attend the parties held at the houses instead. Now, this is where I've come to accept that I may lose some of you, but what I can't stand is a diva. And Frank Ocean was a diva. I am not a fan. I think the last song I heard from him was Novocaine, and I don't even know how long ago that was, to be honest. Almost a week before Coachella, he broke his ankle or injured himself some way. So it wasn't the day of the performance. He had almost a week planned his set the way it could work for him, and he didn't. Instead, he showed up late. He never even appeared on stage, and he stayed behind the screen the entire time. And I heard he ended up leaving early. I don't know if that's true, so correct me. But he was a headliner, and people waited the entire weekend to see him. People specifically bought tickets to see him perform. And I don't know if you've ever looked up the cost of Coachella tickets, but they are not cheap. It's a wild amount of money. And then I don't know if anyone saw Justin Bieber's post about it, praising the performance, saying it was the best he'd ever seen. Who told you to write that, and how much did they pay you to post? Because why are you lying? I've seen artists go above and beyond during their thickest moments, moments they would rather die than smile, moments their vocal cords are not 100%, to make sure that they can give their fans what they want. So I just think there are no excuses for that specific incident, and he just regrets to me. I enjoy being a fan of something, but what I can't stand is a fan base. I think they're incredibly toxic, and the shit they do is disgusting at times, even unjustifiable. And I think artists should call their fan bases out, but I doubt it would ever happen. I'm not gonna sit here and pretend I haven't looked at photos and videos and tried to piece shit together, but I also am not going to pretend the narrative is correct unless confirmed. Do some artists use this to advantage? Yes. They drop little Easter eggs everywhere, but the way some people will go through all that trying to create a narrative that may not even be real, most of the time it's a far reach. I can't. And then they'll bully the shit out of anyone that doesn't agree with their opinion. You're not getting paid by these people. They're not even really acknowledging you. Sure, they may like or retweet you, but more than half the time, you're just another person on the internet. And sometimes artists thrive off of this because press is press. Good or bad, if their name is topic, they're getting views and they're getting paid. But I do think that most of the time it does more damage than good. And at the end of the day, you have to remember that we are all humans with real feelings and emotions, especially artists. I can list a few instances that is currently happening with artists who have voiced their own mental health concerns. And the way fan bases completely disregard that and truly overstep some situations is insanely toxic. And while we're here, can we stop looking at one photo or one 10-second video and commenting how happy they look or how happy the couple is or how they're literally perfect? Let's stop basing people's perfection and happiness off a photo or a video. We don't know what happens behind the camera. They could be living in hell. Like, let's have a little bit more respect. No, another hot take, sports and athletes. Sure, they're entertaining, but I have always found it a little concerning how actually surprised people are when they see an athlete in the news on some kind of violent story. When you hear stories like this, if you actually look into the background of said athlete, you'll more often than not hear a story of how they were a troubled teen thrown into sports to get them off the streets and headed for a right direction. We hear often how they were headed down the wrong path and sports saved their life. But I think that you are who you are, whether you're a priest or a thug, you could be thrown into ballet or sports. If you're aggressive and violent, that is who you are. So I guess that's why it never really shocks me when I see them posted on a news site. And again, I'm not speaking on all, and I know it's probably not fair to stereotype them. I'm just saying I'm not surprised. And I'm bringing this up because in the past week, I know of two that have been in the news. Nate Diaz for attacking someone on the street. Nate's a boxer. I mean, he's a fighter. So why is this a shock to people? I believe who he is as an athlete, he is as a person. And again, I know this isn't for all, but there are a few that I just think, well, duh, that's who they are. And the second person, Oscar De La Hoya. Oscar's fighter, Ryan Garcia, lost his match, and at the end of the fight, both teams sit together and complete an interview. However, Ryan's whole team did not attend the interview, so people are saying Oscar abandoned Ryan because he lost. Oscar then got online and posted his side, which was complete bullshit. He said he was receiving death threats before the event, so he was told it was best not to go. But he did go. He went to the event. He just did not attend the interview. So he just didn't have Ryan's back after a loss. And now, why this doesn't shock me is Oscar has children that other people raised. Travis Barker took on the father role to one of Oscar's children. So abandoning is what he does. If he can abandon his own children, I don't find it shocking that he would abandon any other person. He's a fucking bum. It's just what he does. Case closed, next. I recently saw a post saying the Kylie and Timothy Zoomer is a distraction, and I may kind of believe this. I don't believe we've actually seen the two together. We just see cars at certain places, but never faces. Very calculated. We all know the new season is coming. We're also aware that Tristan is now signed with the Lakers and back in LA. And allegedly, Tristan and Khloé are back together. Although I don't think that's confirmed, but the distraction would make sense. And when it comes to Khloé and Tristan, the world has taken it upon themselves to give their opinion. Hate them or love them, the Kardashians are one of the most watched families. They're doing reality shows, and that's what they've always done. A time where everyone wants them to be real and open and vulnerable. And it isn't because people actually give a shit about their feelings. It's just so they can sit back with their judgment. And let's be honest, did Khloé take Tristan back? Who knows? But at the end of the day, she didn't ask for our opinion. She didn't ask us to feel sorry for her or pity her. She just put herself on a TV show and was open about her situation. We all know people in our hometowns that go back to their baby daddies a million times. Break up and get back together with their shitty ass boyfriend or girlfriends, and we don't give a fuck. Maybe because it's not as magnified because they're not in the spotlight, but let's not act like Khloé is the first person who wants her family to work. I get everyone is entitled to their opinion, as I have given my opinion on this entire podcast, but what I don't get is the entitlement of having an opinion of someone's choice of relationship or what they choose to do with their body. At the end of the day, what people choose is what they have to live with, and that has absolutely nothing to do with anyone else. Let's finish this episode off with me not ranting for once. If there are five shows that I would say are a must-watch, would 10/10 recommend, and you wouldn't be let down, they would be starting with One Tree Hill. We all know Mark Schwann is a disgusting shitbag, but at the time the show was airing, I would say it was genius. Not only were there actors, but some of the characters were actual music artists that were recording real music, which we got to witness in the show. And when the music was introduced in an episode, behind the scenes, the artists were also doing a tour around the US promoting their music. So it was really double views, views for the show, but also views for the music. Honestly, creative. They also put on a concert at a military base to support the troops in the show. I forgot what it was called, but I believe it was in like 2007, and this actually happened in real life. The whole concept of mixing the show with real music was over the top, and I had never seen it done before, so I loved it. There's also a great mixture of cast. Some characters you love more than others, but it's an absolute must-watch. And then you have the Chicago One series. I started with Chicago PD. I wasn't familiar with the entire franchise until I had a friend urge me to watch Chicago Fire as well. And then finally, I gave in and watched Chicago Med. Some of the episodes were crossovers between all three shows and also included Law and Order SVU. So during some downtime, out of curiosity, I found the list to watch in chronological order and did just that. And I will say it was amazing. You got to see the story play out from all sides. The first show of the series was Fire. Season one was probably one of the best season ones I have ever witnessed. There was drama. There was a lot of mind-blowing events. It definitely kept me on the edge of my seat and begging for more. And season five finale of Chicago Fire was one of the hardest I've seen. If you're anything like me and you get so emotionally involved in storylines, it will tear you apart. And we love to see it. I highly recommend watching the Chicago One franchise if you can in chronological order. If you're not sure if it's something you'd be into, I challenge you to watch the first season of Chicago Fire and at the end tell me if you're still watching or wanting to walk away. My next show would be Criminal Minds. Each episode follows a different case while the entirety of the show is still holding a main storyline. You will fall in love with every single character and become invested in the storyline. The whole family dynamic of it is one for the books. I couldn't recommend this show more. A short show that you could watch to kill time if you need to is Veronica Mars. It has mystery, it has comedic humor, it has the best one-liners I've ever seen. Originally, it had three seasons, and then they decided to do a movie, and 10 years later, they came back for a fourth season. If you're an OG like myself, we do not claim season four. You could watch the first three seasons and leave on that note. However, if you are like me and you have to see things through, you can watch the movie and stop there, or you can go all the way. If you jump from season three to season four without the movie, you will miss how they got to where they're at because it doesn't really give hints at the end of season three because they thought that they were ending. But I think you could get away with not watching the movie if you wanted to. This was one of my favorite shows when I was younger, and it's why I decided I wanted to work in law enforcement. Only to learn years later that a mistake I made when I was younger would cock-block me into ever being hired by law enforcement. Shout out Veronica Mars, 10/10 recommend. And the last but definitely not least, I have to shout out my friend Sam at lovefool.99 on Instagram. Thank you for introducing me to the most traumatic TV experience I've witnessed in a long time, Sons of Anarchy. I was so against this show for so long, I always told myself it wasn't something I'd be into, and I was lying to myself. I love drama, I love violence, I love secrets, but for some reason, I gaslit myself into thinking this show was not for me, when it truly was. I was locked and fully loaded from the first episode. I was sitting, I was ordering acid chaps online like I was there for the ride. It will fuck you up mentally. It will have you crying, screaming, throwing up. It will have you second guessing people and asking yourself, why the fuck don't they just talk to each other? It could have all been avoided if they just talked, but instead everyone held secrets. And let's be honest, if they didn't have secrets, we wouldn't have a show. I love Sons of Anarchy so much, and I cannot wait until enough time goes by that I can serve a rewatch. I really think everyone should experience Sons of Anarchy for the first time. If you could go back and experience the show for the first time, what would that be? What show would that be for you? I'm so curious. Comment on my episode 10 post on Instagram what your show would be. I just need to see what everyone's answers would be. I'm so interested. And that concludes another episode of Call My Lawyer. Thank you so much for bearing with me. I know I missed last week, but listen, I was going through some things mentally. I also don't know if anyone realizes how hard it is to actually sit here and have a conversation with yourself with no other feedback but your own. I have tried to imagine a bunch of you are sitting in front of me, but it doesn't work. I do love hearing my own opinion. That's the narcissistic side of me, but I love to hear input from others. I don't know, but we'll get through it. Don't forget to follow me at Tabs Are Here with Bree Eve on Instagram. And until next time, bye.